Welcome to the Why We Build podcast. Join Steve Wheeler and our host, Greg Waller, to explore the world of remodeling. Whether you're on the production team, design team, or managing the whole show, you can expect insights, tips, and stories that inspire and educate. So let's dive into the Why We Build podcast.
Hello there and welcome to the Why We Build podcast, presented by Remodelers Advantage. I'm your host, Greg Wallach, and today I am solo. Now, on this podcast, we're all about empowering remodeling professionals with valuable insights, real-world tips, and inspiring stories from the field. We're building a community where business owners, production and design professionals, well, entire remodeling teams can learn from one another, solve problems together, and grow through shared knowledge and inspiration. If you've got feedback, episode ideas, or a guest you think we should feature, I'd love to hear from you. Please reach out anytime, greg@remodelersadvantage.com. Now, you've probably heard the saying, overanalysis leads to paralysis. And if you're in the middle of trying to grow or professionalize your remodeling business, you might feel that tension firsthand. One process turns into five. A simple checklist becomes a six-tab spreadsheet. You create systems to solve problems, but somehow those systems start becoming the problems. Now, don't get me wrong, I believe in systems. I built my career helping companies document, clarify, and implement processes that protect profit and improve performance. But lately, I'm seeing something that's worth calling out. Now, too many businesses are getting stuck in the weeds of perfection, trying to build the ultimate version of every workflow before they ever test it in the field. And while they're tweaking templates and refining SOPs, projects are dragging, team members are frustrated, and momentum stalls. Here's one simple truth. You don't need a perfect system. You need a usable one, one your team can actually follow under pressure in real time with real clients. Now, because systems should create freedom, not friction. They should support the people doing the work, not slow them down with layers of approval and complexity. Today, I want to walk through how we simplify intentionally, how we apply the 80-20 rule to our processes, how we define what's essential, and let the rest evolve. And also how we get back to building businesses that move, adapt, and grow without getting tangled up in their own systems. Let's start with this. Now, most overprocessed businesses didn't set out to become that way. Nobody says, you know what would help our teams move faster? More red tape. What usually happens is this. The company starts growing, things get a little chaotic, and the instinct is to tighten things up. Leadership wants to reduce mistakes, protect the client experience, and make sure things run smoother. All good intentions. So they start building processes, documenting workflows, creating forms, standardizing everything. Then something flips. The system that was meant to help becomes the thing that slows you down. Everything needs approval. Every change requires a new form. And team members are asking, do I have to check all these boxes before I go fix the problem? And suddenly, the people who used to feel empowered now feel handcuffed. This is the moment where structure crosses the line into stall out. And here's where I think we need to zoom out and remember something important. Now, one of my favorite quotes, especially when we're talking about systems, systemize the predictable so we can humanize the exceptional. In remodeling, there's a lot that is predictable. How we onboard clients, how we run pre-construction, how we track selections. That's the stuff we're systemizing. But the magic, the trust you build, the way your team solves problems in the field, the way you make a client feel heard, that's the exceptional. That's the human part. And if your systems are so rigid that there's no room for that, you're building the wrong kind of company. So yes, build process, but not at the cost of momentum. Don't let a good idea become a heavy one. Process should create freedom, not friction. If your company is feeling bogged down by too many systems, here's a simple principle that can help you refocus fast. Now, 80-20 is also known as the Pareto principle. It shows up in every part of business, and remodeling is no exception. roughly 20% of your systems are driving 80% of your results. The flip side, that means a lot of the structure you've built may be adding complexity without adding value. So the question becomes, do you know which 20% actually moves the needle? Now, when I walk into a remodeling business that's trying to clean things up, we usually find that just a handful of systems really matter. Clear and consistent change order process, a strong handoff from the design and sales department to production, job cost review, and maybe a clean selection tracking system. That's it. Those are the systems that directly impact budget, timeline, client trust. If those are solid, the rest can evolve as needed. Now, what I often see is the opposite. Teams spending a ton of time perfecting internal forms, building a 10-step approval process for ordering drawer pulls, or documenting things that no one ever reads. And all that effort takes attention away from the few systems that actually matter on every job. Here's a practical reset. Start by identifying your vital few. What are the 3 to 5 processes that, if followed well, would protect your margin, your schedule, and your client experience? Then ask, are we putting our energy there, or are we busy polishing systems that don't really change the outcome? Now, it's not about doing everything. It's about doing the right things well. Let's talk about a phrase I come back to often with the companies I work with, and it's minimum viable process. Just like you've probably heard a minimum viable product, a version that's functional enough to launch and improve over time, this is about creating systems that are just structured enough to work without overbuilding them. Because the goal isn't to process size everything, it's to put just enough guardrails in place so people can move confidently and consistently without needing a flowchart for every decision. Minimum viable process means clarity over complexity. One-page SOPs over process manuals. Checklists that live in the real world, not in a dusty binder on a shelf. It's about giving your team just enough support so they don't have to guess, but still enough flexibility to adapt and solve problems that will come up, and of course, keep things moving forward. Let's say you're trying to create a handoff between sales and production. You don't need a 17-point form and 3 approval signatures. You need a checklist that makes sure the big stuff's covered. Scope, budget, selections, client expectations. Keep it lean. Make it usable. Here is a filter I use when evaluating a system. Does the process create clarity, save time, or reduce risk? If it doesn't do at least one of those things, it's probably adding noise, not value. Don't forget your systems should evolve. What works for 3 jobs a month may not work for 10. What works for 1 estimator and 1 project manager may not work with a larger team. But the best way to scale your systems is to keep them simple enough to adapt as you grow. Minimum viable process is not about cutting corners. It's about building systems that support the people doing the work without drowning them in it. At a certain point, process alone isn't what keeps your business on track. It's the habits that we have. So you can write all the SOPs in the world, but if your team isn't living them, they're just words on a page. What actually moves a company forward isn't just what's documented. It's what's implemented. And consistently, nonetheless. That's where I've seen companies get most of their traction, not by adding more steps, but by building a culture of small, repeatable behaviors that reinforce clarity, accountability, and communication. Here's a few examples that I find are helpful. First, daily huddles. I've talked about this before, but 5 to 10 minutes on site, on Zoom, on Teams, however you want to do it. Talk about what's happening today, what changed since yesterday, and what needs a quick decision. This daily rhythm solves more problems than most multi-page reports ever will. Friday reviews or some sort of a weekly team meeting. Carve out 20 minutes, look at open change orders, outstanding materials, and job costing updates. Doesn't have to be formal, it just needs to be consistent. It keeps jobs from drifting and next week's start a lot smoother. Verbal confirmation and shared notes is something else I think we're not using well enough. There's some AI solutions out there as well, but if someone says something important on a call, follow up in writing. Just confirming we're going with the matte black fixtures, not the chrome. That one sentence can save hundreds of dollars and, of course, hours of confusion. We improve as we go mindset. Now, your team should feel empowered to improve the systems while they use it. Encourage field teams and designers to speak up. Hey, this checklist helped, but it's missing something important. Can we update it? That's how you build a living system, not a frozen one. At the end of the day, it's not about having perfect systems. It's about building a culture where clarity is valued, communication is normal, and people know how to keep moving when things shift. I'm often shocked at how little communication happens between teams. Now, a lightweight process backed by strong habits will always outperform a heavyweight process that nobody uses. Here's where I want to leave you. It's easy to think that more structure equals better results, but in remodeling in business, that's not always true. The right structure, the right habits, and the right focus will move you forward. But when systems become too rigid, too complex, or too disconnected from the people doing the work, they stop serving the team and they start slowing it down. A simple system that your team actually follows will always outperform a complex one they avoid. So here's my challenge to you this week. Pick one process in your business that feels heavy, maybe a form no one fills out, a report that never gets read, or a meeting that's lost its purpose. Ask yourself, what is the goal of this? What's the minimum it needs to do that job well? And how could we make it leaner without losing impact? Simplify it. Trim it by 20%, 30%, 40%, I don't know. Test it in the field and see what happens. So at the end of the day, we're not building systems for the sake of systems. We're building them to support people, protect profit, and create great outcomes. Thank you for listening. If this episode got you thinking about the systems in your own company, or if you've got a story about a process that helped or hurt, I'd love to hear it. Drop me a note, greg@remodelersadvantage.com. Until next time here on the Why We Build podcast.
That's it for this episode of the Why We Build podcast. We hope you found something valuable to take back to your team. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe and leave a review. Please send in your ideas for future episodes. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you on the next one. If you want more information about our roundtables program, production manager groups, design manager groups, consulting services, or any of the Remodelers Advantage offerings, please visit remodelersadvantage.com or email greg@remodelersadvantage.com.